There had been no advance warning, apart from an army vehicle that had appeared one blustery afternoon 3 weeks earlier. This in itself was strange, as there was no proper road to the village, only a lane that became rather muddy after rain. And it didn't go anywhere, apart from down to the tiny harbour, where there were currently no fishing boats, the war having made fishing too dangerous in these waters. The open-topped Tilly army vehicle had driven down the one street, past the church, the schoolhouse, the pub and the row of cottages, to where the village ended in the overgrown track with steps down to the harbour. An officer, wearing a smart peaked army cap, had climbed out, looked around, and was heard by Mary Norton, who was getting in her washing before it rained, to say,
"It will have to do. Luckily, there's nothing of historic value here."
She never bothered to pass along this statement, or the inhabitants might have been better prepared when the post office van came sloshing through puddles to deposit the mail at the village post office, come village shop. Mrs. Jenkins, the postmistress slash shop owner, had looked at the pile of letters bearing no stamps.
"More rubbish from the government," she had said to Fred Hammond, the driver. "I wonder what it'll be this time."
"Probably Cottonar sugar ration again," he said, "or the meat ration. But I bet that don't affect you so much out here with your chickens and pigs."
"We do all right, I suppose," she said,
"although the rats keep getting at our eggs, bloody nuisances." "He don't have to worry too much, do he?"
The post office driver nodded up the street.
"Him at the big house. Don't he still have cows?"
"No, they're long gone," she said. "Government took them. Now we don't have that much more than we do. A couple of pigs and chickens, but a fine lot of fruit and veggies. And I must say, he's good enough to share with us."
"Well, he should, seeing as you're his tenants, right? You pay him every month to live here, don't you?"
"We do, I suppose." Mrs. Jenkins smoothed down her apron. "Now I better get that lazy bones Ned to take these around."
It turned out that the letters were not about the sugar ration. Instead, they said, "To the inhabitants of Tydham, this is to inform you that His Majesty's armed forces have need of your village to further the war effort. It has been requisitioned for invasion drills, commencing October 8th, 1943. You have 2 weeks to remove your belongings and vacate the village. Every adult occupant of Tydham is required to attend a meeting at the village hall on September 24th at 8 p.m, where there will be further explanation and questions will be answered."
"Bloody hell,"
Ed Jenkins muttered when his wife showed him the letter.
"They've got some nerve, haven't they? Turning folks out of their homes, homes they've lived in for generations."
"I suppose it is for the war effort, Ed," Mrs. Jenkins said, trying to be brave, but not really any happier with the news than her husband had been. "They'll have to rehouse us, won't they? They can't just turn us out into the street."
Ed shrugged.
"I hear that's what they've been doing in the cities that were bombed. Oh, your house just got flattened? Too bad. Don't you have a relative to live with?"
"We could go to my sister in Dorchester," Mrs. Jenkins said. "They have that spare bedroom now that young Jack..."
She did not complete the sentence. Young Jack had gone down with his ship.
"They'll have to rehouse us," Ed said firmly. "What about my vegetable patch, eh? I haven't harvested half the stuff yet, and there's the taters and onions I've put in."
He stood up resolutely.
"I'm going to have a word with Mr. Bennington. If anyone can set these army blokes straight, he can."